And reading then from Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Paul opens these verses on prayer by saying to us, be anxious or be careful or be worried about nothing. What a great ideal Paul lifts up before us. No Christian has ever attained it, I do not think, that they're anxious or worried or careful about nothing. But it is the ideal, and we should always present to the people of God what God would expect of them, that they might aim at the target, not somewhere else. But the target is beyond our reach, certainly, and even by the grace of God, because of our sinful condition, it would be impossible for us ever to be without any care, without any anxiety, without any worry. Maybe you have felt that way. Maybe you have even said, how can I not be anxious when I'm surrounded with such things to be careful about? Cares about our health, cares about our wealth, cares about our families, cares about our sorrows, cares about death, and above all, cares about our own soul, our eternal soul, and the souls of our loved ones. Where will they spend eternity? Children, you worry your parents. You do not know, but you worry them greatly. And they weep for you in secret places, I am sure. You don't know it, but they do. For they care for your souls as they do for their own. Now, the remedy for anxiety does not lie in what the wealth, health and wealth gospel preachers on television and other places tell us. It does not lie in positive thinking or possibility thinking. That is terrible. It's a lie from the pit that we can be saved by our possibility thinking or by our positive thinking. And they deceive poor, honest folk. Sometimes simple folk are deceived greatly. Maybe some of you have been deceived by such preaching, such false preaching, I should say. Now, the remedy for our anxiety, for our worries, Paul tells us, lies in prayer and supplications. But prayer and supplication with a particular element that is often absent when we are anxious and when we are filled with care. Now, what is that element? That element of prayer. One thing in particular is often absent when we're worried. When we're anxious, that is thanksgiving. Now think about it for a few minutes. Our petitions and our supplications are to be made to God, and only to God, and to God alone. Isn't that what we read here? I think it's very clear. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Doesn't even cross his mind that you should ever pray to others, but many do. Saints, Mary, 1,000 different people I mean, 1,000 different people have been prayed to by some so-called Christians. Perhaps they are not even Christians if they can make their petitions to others than God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we are to take every burden and care and sin and sorrow where? To God. And to make it known to whom? To Him. Not to the saints, not to Mary, not to anyone else, but to God. He knows what you have need of even before you ask Him. And He desires, however, to hear you, His child, pray to Him. He wants to be asked. Fathers want their children sometimes to ask for their daily bread. Daddy, I'm hungry. Can I have some food? Well, maybe they go to Mother. She serves the food. Can I have some food? And they love to be the recipients of requests such as this. And so our Heavenly Father delights when His children come to Him and ask of Him in their need, in their concerns, in their sorrows, in their cares, in their sins. Take them all directly to your Heavenly Father. And remember, He is a Father in heaven. We have been adopted as His children. But when you pray, remember, you're not coaxing a reluctant God to help you with what He does not wish to give you. We in prayer are getting a hold of God's willingness, not His reluctance, not overcoming His reluctance, I should say. And sometimes we get this in our mind. God does not wish to give us what we ask, what we need, what we have great need of, perhaps. But He does. And He knows your need even before you ask Him. Should I read some scriptures to show you that? He knows it all, but He does love for you to come before His throne and ask Him and beg from Him the things that you have need of. I'll read from chapter 6 of Matthew and the 8th verse. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth all things. Well, He says, first of all, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye like unto them, for your Father knoweth all things that ye have need of before you ask Him. Should I read another verse? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Take no thought, He says. Don't let it occupy your thinking. What will we eat? What will we drink? Wherewithal will we be clothed? How will we live? How can we survive? Your Father knows this all. The heathens are concerned about these kind of things. You are not to be. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs, and He will meet them. He always has, but He wishes to be asked quite often. How He loves to hear you cry and ask Him for your bread and for everything that you have need of. So prayer is laying hold, I say, on God's willingness, His willingness to give, not overcoming His reluctance to give. Now, children, when they're anxious, go to their daddy and they cry out, don't they? They go to their father. So we, when we're anxious, should make known our cares and our concerns and our worries to our Father in heaven. Whatever has caused you anxiety, make it known to God by praying to Him and by supplication to Him. Now, prayer is the idea of a petition. Now, that is a very important part of prayer. Some kind of look down on asking God. Well, no, we should not ever think of that in that terms. We should not look down upon any of our askings from God. petitioning him. And what is supplication? Well, it's an earnest and eloquent begging supplication. So with earnest entreaties, tell God everything in his ear. You're anxious? Tell him. You're concerned? Tell him. You have cares about your health, your wealth, about death, about your soul? Tell him. Bring it to him and to no other. This is what anxious Christians do to begin their conformity to Paul's ideal of not being anxious about anything, about not being careful about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. But there's another thing, and we want to think more about that. For this is the part that we often fail to take up in our prayers. But people often pray very specifically, maybe very earnestly, supplicating him, begging from him. They still find that they're anxious and that afterwards they're full of cares after they finish praying. And they're troubled and they feel the stress even heavier perhaps after they finish prayer. For they have missed this one vital element, this one essential element in making known their requests to God. And what is that element? I've already told you. Maybe you've forgotten it already. Very simply, in one word, it is thanksgiving. Did you hear it? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is the missing ingredient from so many prayers and leaves people still under stress, under their worries, under the cares that they came to God with. They don't seem to be able to leave them there because they do not understand that they must pray with this element of thanksgiving. Now, maybe, I don't know, it's not a good illustration. No illustration is perfect, but maybe it'll help a little. Say, I'm not a baker. Maybe some of you are. I hope maybe there are some bakers. But you're going to bake a cake. You have to put every single element in the recipe in the cake batter. You don't leave anything out. You put it all. You leave out even the baking soda. And what happens? Well, the cake goes flat. It doesn't rise. So you have to have every element if you wish to have the full effect in your baking. There's plenty of prayer, sometimes even earnest prayer and supplication, begging. However, are our petitions, are our entreaties accompanied with thanksgiving? If you do not include thanksgiving with your requests, most likely you will remain as anxious and as burdened and as distressed as you were when you began to pray. You'll be as resentful, as unthankful, as ungrateful as you were when you started. You've forgotten this element, this essential element. You've made known your request unto God, but you have not done it with thanksgiving. You must do it with thanksgiving. But how, you say, can I be thankful when I'm in such a terrible plight, when I'm under such stress and such burden? I have my sorrows, my concerns. They're not small. They're great. How can I give thanks when I have such great care resting on my soul, upon my heart, upon my whole being? It weighs me down, you say. Stop where you are. Dear ones, I don't want to beat you up, but I want you to stop and to think how much God has done for you. and how much reason you have to give thanks to Him and to Him alone. You will find by God's grace that as Christians, you have more cause to give thanks than you have for your worries and your cares when you stop and begin to rehearse this word of thanks. And give it. Not just asking. Yes, that's very important. It's a vital part of prayer. We don't need to minimize the importance of asking, petitioning. But there is more to prayer than just asking. Think again and again how much God has done for your soul. How much you have to be thankful for. Oh yes, you have your cares and sorrows. I don't minimize them. You have your sins and your griefs. But as Christians, you've been blessed richly with an abundance of His grace. Give thanks. First of all, if you have nothing else to thank Him for, well, I think you have more than this, but first of all, give Him thanks that He is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. You have the God of the universe, the creator of all things visible and invisible, things under the earth and above the earth, in heaven and earth. The God of heaven and earth is a God who hears your prayers. You don't have to make an appointment. And He can hear everyone who prays. And every single prayer they're praying. Every time they pray. No appointment is necessary. What a great God, a loving Father, to listen to His children, all of His children at all times, to hear them and to give them answers. Our Father does hear when His children cry in their distress. What a great privilege to have the ear of God. The God of the whole universe, the God of earth and of heaven, listens, hears when you pray. Now, I don't believe in prayer, but I believe in God, the God who hears and answers prayer. My faith is not in my prayers. Don't ever put your faith there. You'll be disappointed. And I'm not talking just semantics. You must put your faith in God, and you must look to God, and you must ask God, and you must thank God. We only believe in God. We don't believe in anything else. No, not even in the church. We believe the church is God's church, and He put it here, and He gave us fellowship and wondrous things in it. We believe in God the Father and in His Son and in the Holy Spirit. And that's the only thing we believe in is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the God of heaven and earth is the God who does what? Hears our prayers and answers our prayers. And we should make known, therefore, to God, not anyone else, because then no one else can answer. No one can hear either or answer them, your prayers. And all of your sorrows and all of your sins and all of your griefs and all of your fears make known to Him. Can you not feel thankful that you have such a privilege with no appointment needed? The God of the whole earth, the God of heaven and earth, the God of the whole universe is your God and mine. And He gives you free access to His throne of grace. No, it is not a throne of judgment. The unrepentant will find that one day it is a throne of judgment, but not today for the Christian, the believer in God. There is a throne of grace that is open for us and for our crying out to Him with our needs, with all our concerns. Come to Him Beg His forgiveness. Beg His help. Beg His comfort. Beg Him to remedy your troubled, your distressed mind. Remember, He is of great mercy and abundant in blessings. And what you've received in time past from your Father, He will continue to give, not withholding. He's not grudging. He's not wanting to give you as little as He can give you. Ask great things from Him, and He'll give you those great things. And sometimes He even gives them when you ask for little things. He gives you great things. Has He not done it in the past? Will He not do it now? Will He not continue His gracious outpouring of His blessings upon you? He's provided for all of your necessities. How long have you lived? Have you ever been without food? Well, maybe a day or two. I don't know. Maybe somebody here has been hungry. I doubt if anybody here much has been hungry. Maybe so. Maybe some of you had some bad days when you really were down and out. But did He not give you what you needed? Maybe He didn't give it very much ahead of time. And maybe it seemed like a very small portion, and you would have eaten more had you been able to get more. But were you fed? Was there enough for you to be alive and sustained in your life? Surely. What can you then not give thanks for that? Become before Him with this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for all His benefits, all of His goodness to you. Will not your Father, therefore, that Father in heaven, continue to bless and to give you what you have need of? Give thanks for past blessings, but also for the answer that He will give for the future. Maybe He hasn't given it yet, but you can thank Him that He who gave you everything in the past will continue to supply your needs and give you now in the present. And He will give it at the right time. And He will give it in the right way. It may not be according to your asking exactly. Sometimes we ask for this or that, and we ask sometimes for a timetable with God, and we tell Him what He should do, when He should do it. Well, He's not going to be governed by you or by me either. But He will give it at the right time. It won't come too late. It won't come too early either. Yes, yes, His timing is perfect. It may not be your timing. And it may not even be done in the way that you have asked Him to do it. But it will be better. He will do it better than you could have asked Him. Have you not found it to be so? Been startled by His goodness? Startled even by His timing, how it seemed to come at the right moment? Can you not believe that He will do it again and give Him thanks, therefore? Thank Him even before the answer comes. If God sometimes answers no, and I'm not saying that He always does, He doesn't always answer no, but He may sometime. Children have to receive their father's no's as well as their yes's, because the father knows this is not right for my child to have, or not the right time. I remember having a knife one time, or I wanted a knife, and I told my father, he said, "You're not ready for it." Then the day came when he gave me a knife. He said, "I think you're ready for it now. Be careful how you use it. Don't cut yourself, and don't you ever threaten anyone with it." And it wasn't long until he took the knife away from me, because I was not ready to have a knife. I threatened someone on the street, and I would not see that knife again, not for a year or two. And I don't think it ever came from my father. I think I had to buy my knife. We don't sometimes know what's good for us, do we? We think we do. We're sure we do. But we don't sometimes know what would be good for us. But our Heavenly Father knows. He knows. And gives us what we need when we need it. And if He withholds it, He has good reason to do so. And we trust Him. Even if we continue to ask Him, which we have a right to do and the privilege of doing. But above all, we should give thanks for God's unspeakable gift, His inexpressible gift. Well, what is that, you say? Well, surely you know. You should. It's His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. He has given us the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, as a Redeemer, as a friend. And if He did not withhold His only Son, is there any good thing? Is there any good thing He will withhold from any of us? Nothing will He withhold. Not if He gave His only begotten Son for our souls. In Him we have redemption. In Him we have forgiveness. In Christ we have peace. In Christ we have joy. In Christ we have life forevermore. Well, I want to read to you from Romans chapter 8. Sometimes it's been called a rhapsody on assurance. It is a great passage. What shall we say to these things? Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who also maketh intercession for us. The Savior saved us by His death and by His life. He saved us when He died on the cross. He's saving us today by living in heaven and granting the things that we must have to continue to be saved, that we would not therefore fail to be saved at last, but would persevere to the end, making intercession for us from the right hand, the most powerful place in all of the universe, the right hand of the Father on high. He rules from there. And saves us in His ruling and governing over all things for our salvation. Everything is governed in this universe, and it is subservient to our salvation. Serves one purpose, at least one. There's much more. It serves ultimately for God's glory. We should keep that always in mind. But it serves also for the poor salvation of such sinners. Poor sinners such as you and I are saved by His working in heaven. Who shall separate us from the love of God? For the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Christ loves us too, as well as the Father, you see. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? Now maybe you suffer, maybe you never suffered with every one of these things. Maybe you suffered with one or two of them. But he says, if you suffer from all these things, you will not be separated from Christ's love, from His saving love that gave His life for you and that He now lives in heaven to keep you by His persevering, by His intercession, that you would continue to persevere. What? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or sword, apparel, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature, nothing in all creation shall separate, be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know this? Do you give thanks for this constantly, regularly? Maybe every time you bow your knee to pray, you should. If you don't, maybe you know nothing of salvation. Maybe you know nothing of God's grace that saves sinners. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, surely this is reason for giving thanks, even when everything is against you. And it all has turned, as it were, to your own persecution and death. Even death will not separate us from his saving love that's in Christ Jesus. Now, before I finish, consider two motives. The two motives that he gives us, or at least I think they're here, for praying with thanksgiving. There's first of all the great sin of not being thankful. That's a motive to pray with thanksgiving. After he has given us so much and bountifully given it for many years, even if he's taken it away at last, we should not be ungrateful. It is a great sin to be ungrateful for all the previous benefits and the benefits that shall yet come to us through our Lord Jesus Christ especially. And they all come through him in one way or another. For all things have been given to us. Yeah, you say, I earned it by my bread. No, you did not. God gave you the strength to earn your bread. And he made your labor prosper. And therefore you could take the bread, bake the bread, and be nourished only by his grace, only out of his goodness. So it is a great sin to be ungrateful to this God of heaven and earth who has done all for us. So let all your prayers be made with thanksgiving. As you make your requests known to God, do it with thanksgiving. But a second motive is that there is a result. Apparently, it's very closely tied to it. It seems it's in the next verse, isn't it? Seventh verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passes all human understanding will do what? Protect you, guard you, your mind and your heart. Are you worried, troubled? This will be a guard. This will be something that will keep away those fears, those distresses, those anxieties, those cares, and drive them out. Drive them out. You pray. That's good. You should. You should ask God for everything. You should supplicate him, crying out as a beggar. But do you omit thanksgiving? You will not receive the peace of God unless you pray as it's given to you to pray, with all those elements that are there, the thanksgiving as well as the other elements. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It is so, is it not? That's where our griefs and cares seem to rise, when we don't pray as we should. But it's always prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is like the wall that is thrown up around us. He is our peace. Who is our peace? Jesus Christ is our peace. So it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have peace with God, first of all, and peace of mind and heart, secondarily. And it will guard us, it will protect us, it will garrison our minds and our hearts. And it cannot be overcome, not the Lord Jesus Christ and His peace. Oh yes, the enemy will assail you. He's probably done it on many occasions. He will throw his fiery darts into your heart. He will do it as often as he needs to or thinks he can do it. And you've felt the pains of them. Sorrows come, and you feel very frightened, very disturbed, very concerned. Oh, you say, I have reason? Yes, you do. But there's something that will guard your heart and your mind. It is through prayer with thanksgiving, that you make known your requests to God. And then the peace of God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, will keep your hearts and your minds. The peaceful protection gained from making our requests known to God with thanksgiving is astonishing. Astonishing. I was going to read you something, but I left it in the car, I think. I must have. But I might try to tell it to you. Dr. Lloyd Jones says that he had read about a Mr. Carpenter and his wife who lost their daughter. They loved her very deeply. They were very proud of her. She was a Christian. She purposed to go overseas as a missionary in the East. When she contracted typhoid fever, they prayed for her for 6 weeks. They prayed, Lord, if you're willing. They did not command him. They did not come with that understanding that he would do this. Lord, heal my daughter. But if you're willing, Lord. But she died. And the morning of her death, Mr. Carpenter, who was the head of the Salvation Army in London, said to his wife, I feel such peace. She replied, and so do I feel such peace. She responded, it must be the peace of God. The peace of God, he said. That's it. The peace of God. It passes all understanding. And it will keep our hearts and our minds. Now you who cannot pray with thanksgiving are truly in a sad condition. You who have nothing for which to give thanks must be yet in your sins and unforgiven. So pray first that God might be merciful to you and grant you his forgiveness through the atonement that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you might be justified in his sight and forgiven of all your trespasses and granted his righteousness. That he might be merciful to you, the sinner. And then you can make your requests known to God and do it joyfully with thanksgiving. You can say with the psalmist, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his distresses. Should I read these verses to you? Oh, my. They are marvelous. Have you ever meditated on the 34th Psalm? Who was this poor man? He was the king. David. A poor man? Of course he wasn't poor. But he was in his own eyes. A wretched, poor, undone sinner. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him. Out of all the troubles, So it will be for all who call upon him, who call upon him in truth. Many, it says, the psalmist does, are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Oh, taste and see. Have you ever tasted of God's goodness and his mercy? Taste and see that the Lord is good. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Be anxious for nothing, but petition God. Make your request known to God. All your cares take to God with thanksgiving. And the result, it will be as remarkable as it was for that couple who lost their daughter on the morning of her death. The peace of God will guard your minds and your hearts through Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you, that you give thanks in all things. Let us pray. Holy Father, righteous Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are richly blessed beyond ever our determining, blessing upon blessing, and if we were to count them, they would be innumerable, beyond our numbering. And we've never even stopped to begin to number them. They are so many, we would defy us, defy our ability to count them. And above all, we have a God in heaven who hears us when we cry and answers us when we cry. And you've not withheld your only begotten Son, but delivered him up. We have every reason in heaven and earth to give thanks. Let us not forget to do so and lose our peace and continue in our frustrations, in our anxieties. But let us make known our petitions, our supplications to you, O God in heaven, with thanksgiving. And then we will find the peace of God guarding, protecting our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, who is our peace. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.